refresh it, but the main one is going to be He's in the Room.
See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me, my Jesus set me free.
Good evening. Welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris this Sunday night. Can you give God a hand clap of praise if you are excited to be in the house of the Lord? Go ahead and stand up. Let's not waste any time, but let's go ahead and do what we have been called, which is give God our praise. And we may have had a bad day today. Maybe we didn't get our nap that we wanted, or maybe we've got some things going on. But how many people can look in the face of adversity and say, things may not be looking great, things may not be ideal, but hallelujah anyhow. And no matter what's going on, I'm giving God my praise. Can we begin to lift up God's name right now in this house, in Jesus' name?
My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh, oh, he is my God. Jehovah Jireh, hey, he is my God. Sing it out. My God.
My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh.
Testify, God's been good to me. Through every test and trial, I've got the victory.
trial, I've got the victory. God's been good to me. Through every test, trial, I've got the victory.
No matter,
no matter what comes my way, I'll lift my voice and say, hallelujah, anyhow.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute, one more time, I think I'll say it again.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute, one more time, I think I'll say it again. Wait a minute, one more time, I think I'll say it again. Wait a minute, one more time, I think I'll say it again.
God's been
so good to me, and he's my closest friend. I've come too far to turn around.
had some bad friends in my life. I've been a bad friend sometimes in my life. But to know that there is a friend that you can have. There is somebody that you can call on. You don't have to wonder if they're going to pick up on the other side. But there is someone you can reach out to in the darkest of nights, at the highest point or the lowest lows. And you say, I need a little bit of help. And he is already on the way. I'm thankful for that kind of God here tonight. I'm thankful for that kind of God that will be here in the morning. I'm thankful for that kind of God that no matter where you go or no matter where you run, that his goodness and his mercy is going to be following after you all of the days of your life. Can we give God a hand clap of praise right now for just being good right now in Jesus' name? Praise God. We have some needs that we're going to bring before the Lord, and we're going to pray and agree and believe that God is going to move in each and every single one of them. But if your name is not on this list, if your name is not on the overhead, you still qualify for a miracle. God can still move in your life. If you have an unspoken need, if you have a sickness in your body, if you're needing a touch in your finances or in your marriage, your mind, your heart, whatever it is, our God is able to move in any need. And so we have Cindy Pinson, Asher Neal, Lori Bolt, Matt and Amber Thomas, Charity Emery, Colby Hicks, Steve Gordon, Sister Mildred Pratt, Brother Billy Trinato. If you have a need in your body today, and if you just want some prayer tonight, just somebody laying hands on you and just a prayer of faith prayed over you, because sometimes we just need a little bit more. I encourage you to step forward, and ministers will anoint you with oil and pray with you and for you, that there's going to be a church family behind you that is going to be praying with you and believing that you maybe you walked in here with something, but you don't have to walk out of here with it. But there's going to be deliverance all throughout this church building tonight. There's going to be victory reports pouring into this building on Wednesday and on next Sunday morning, because we had the faith to say, God, you are able. And God, I trust in you. I've done all that I can do. I've tried every other option. I've tried everything. But God, I surrender it all to you. I surrender my health to you. I surrender my future. I surrender my circumstance. And God, you take control today. And so, Father, I pray that you move on every single need, every single mind, heart, soul, and body that needs a touch. I pray that you begin to minister right now as our faith begins to rise towards you. And in Jesus' name, let you minister. Amen.
You are welcome. let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Take our tithe and our offering. We have on our Wednesday nights, we have our 6-week series that is going on. The greatness is God's gift to you. Make sure that you are there on Wednesday nights for the series. And we have also coming up today in these next 2 weeks, we will be having pastoral candidates coming to minister in the morning and in the evening services. So that is the 9th and the 16th. So make sure that you are there attending those services. On the 23rd, we have our monthly mission pledge that is due. On the 25th will be our church business meeting. It'll be on a Tuesday night. And we are also going to be having our prayer and fasting train, praying and fasting for the pastoral transition team and their families. And there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer if you're going to want to participate in that in any way, that several people can take a specific day and pray and fast for all those that are involved in this transition and believing that God is going to have his hand in every single aspect of it, every single person involved, that God's will moves and guides and directs. And I believe that. We also have our Ladies Joy Conference, April 3rd and 4th, and online registration is open, ladies. So make sure that you are registering for that if you plan to go. And so the ushers are here, so we're going to take our tithe and our offering, and then we're going to move further into worship. Father, thank you for the presence that we feel in this place. And God, I know that you have something for us. So God, I pray that you bless what is given, that you bless the giver. Your word is already anointed, so God, I pray that you anoint the man of God as he delivers it today. And allow us to be good soil to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Darkness, oh.
is your name.
Your name is power.
Your name is healing.
Your name is healing.
It's life.
Your name
to try bones. Oh, yeah.
Presence of the Lord in this house tonight. And in a worship service like this, there's a breaking of the ground that takes place in our spirit and in our flesh, opening up. You can feel it, just a breaking away in your heart. And what that is, it's preparing not just to say, wow, that worship service was great, and you go on and you had some good feelings in church. But it's the preparing of the soil for seeds to be planted. And that seed is the word of God. And so I know that there is an anointed word that is coming just purely from the spirit that we feel in this place. I've heard good reports from this morning. I expect to hear good reports from others tomorrow from the word that will be brought tonight. So if we could, welcome to the pulpit tonight, Brother John Welch.
Well, go ahead and give the Lord Jesus a hand clap together if you love the Lord. What a presence of God that's here tonight. And we're happy to be back in the house of the Lord. You can be seated for a moment if you'd like. We're thrilled and grateful for the good move of the Holy Ghost this morning. And so thank you to all of you that have participated. Brother Rhodes, thank you for leading this service in such an anointed way. And God's already began to move, and thank you for your ministry. And we've heard so many great things about your ministry. God is moving here in this service tonight. I'm so grateful. People are running the aisles and worshiping, and I'm looking over here at my family, because just before I get moving here, I'm going to ask one of them to come give me a little kickstart. You know, that's a good thing about having a family. You just can put them on the hot seat whenever you feel like it. And so I think Tyler's going to run up here and help me and give the Lord a good praise. Come on up here to the pulpit.
Well, praise the Lord, church. Well, we had a powerful service this morning. Again, I can't say enough. Thank you for letting us just come in and worship with you. We're just happy to be somewhere and worship with a church family somewhere. So thank you all for that and your kindness, all the greeters and all the ushers and to this whole entire family. Y'all got everything going on up here on this platform. Y'all have got it rolling. You got the duel, Brother Tanner's going on over here, and you got Sister Kylie leading, and this keyboard sounds incredible. I played at altar, and I realized that I should not have played. I should have let this dear sister keep playing. So y'all have got it going on. Y'all have got a blessed church, and I know this is a unique season for your church transition, but we know that God's going to be with you. And I just wanted to share a short thought that's been on my heart the last little while. And I don't know, media team, I'm usually messing this part up always. I didn't get with any of you, but if you could put up Philippians 3:13-14, that would be incredible. If you can't, it's no problem, but I'll read it regardless. And it starts off by saying, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do." The one thing that I do, Paul writes this. He says, "I forget those things which are behind me." He said, "I forget all the bad things that are behind me. I forget all of the sin. I forget all of the carnality. I forget the things every time I've messed up, all the iniquity. I forget all those times that I've fallen, all of those times that I've stumbled, Brother Dickie. I forget about those things. The one thing that I do, the one thing I do is I forget about those things. And he said, reaching forth unto those things which are before, in my relationship with God, reaching forward, not having my mind fixated on the negative things that when I failed God, when I made a commitment to God, and when I made a covenant and he held up his end and I maybe didn't. He said, I forget those things. I have to continue to look forward. I've got to look forward, Brother Stephen. I have to look forward, Brother Jackie. I've got to look forward. I can't look back any longer. And he says this next incredible statement. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to just encourage somebody and remind somebody here today that looking back is going to hinder you from getting to where God is at. Looking back in your life to those negative things, I'm not talking about those monumental, those incredible things, Brother Stephen. We want to look at those memorable things. We say those are monuments in our life. I'm talking about the negative things in my life. I'm talking about the times that I've failed God. And I have to remind myself, I have to press on toward the mark. I've got to press on. So whatever you're doing, if you're playing the keyboard, you've got to press on toward that mark. If you're running media, you've got to press on. Brother Jackie, if you're holding the door for somebody walking in, you've got to press on, because that's the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, the highest calling that any of us can have in our life. It's amazing to stand up here. It's amazing to testify, to preach. It's amazing to play the piano. But the highest call that you can have is to know Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know Jesus Christ in his sufferings. That's the highest call that you can have. So I just want to remind somebody in this season of transition, whatever you're doing in your life right now, whatever you're doing in this church, press on. Just keep going. Just take one step. If you can't take 5 or 10, just take the one step. Keep pressing on. God bless you.
Yes, Lord Jesus, help us to keep pressing on. God's so very faithful and good to us, and we're so grateful to be here. While some of you are standing, I'll go ahead and take my text tonight so you're not up and down. 2 Kings chapter 22, and 2 Kings chapter 22. If you would like to turn to 2 Kings 22, and glad to have my wife and all of our boys, Tyler, Lincoln, Bentley. I love them so much, and so grateful for all of you. You know, I appreciate that, Sister Callan. I looked over here and I thought it was Mozart or somebody. But you know, it just makes me feel good not to be without some background music. I appreciate that. And I think it was Brother Luke over here. He took off on the drums, and I told Brother Lynn, I said, he's rocking tonight. Who's ever on the drums? I said, I like that. So thank you. Logan, Brother Logan. Where you at, Brother Logan? I knew I was in the L's. Brother, you know, not many people tell you you're anointed on drums, but he was anointed on drums, praise God. So thank God. But I got a text here, and I'm putting on my glasses because this is a small print. But I'm looking at 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8. And I'm taking a moment to look at it because this is a special Bible, and I'll tell you more about it in my message. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, the scribe, and he read it." And while you're standing, let's just pray together. Father, we ask your love and mercy just to flow from heaven. God, help me to minister under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Continue the great works you did this morning. And everyone say, in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. Be seated. And as I began, let me again say thank you to the to the advisory board, to the trustees, to all of you that were a part of the meal for us yesterday. We were so blessed by that meal. Thank you. Thank you very much. And to Brother James Martinez for allowing us to be in his building, and all of you that were a part, Sister Lisa for helping us and coordinating with us. Brother Dickey, thank you for introducing us this morning. I again thank you for your kind remarks and your anointing, and all the men of God. And I know a number of you are here that were with us yesterday. I'm looking across for some of you. I know some of you are up in the, Brother Micah is up there trying to help me, and Brother Darren is helping him, I believe, and Brother Lynn over here, all of the great men that were there. Thank you, Brother Scott and Brother Jim. And I'm looking across here trying to see, and I probably am missing somebody. Brother Jackson back there, he's holding down the back row for me, but he's getting ready to run the aisles any minute back there. Praise God. He and Brother Parson are going to run the aisles just as soon as I get kicked off, maybe. Well, in the spirit anyway, just so you get with me and say amen, you don't have to run the aisles. But, you know, everything was so powerful. The worship team was all up here, and I get a minister. It's easy to minister when a worship team does that good, and all of us would say that. And so thank you again to all these good musicians, Sister Callan, Sister Kylie, and all of these great people, the musicians. I'm already looking for them to come up for the conclusion, and I haven't even preached yet, so thank you for helping me with that. But you know what? I came in tonight, and there was a fire in the prayer room. There were people calling out to God. I could hear it from the front door, and I want to tell you, to those of you that were praying, you're not overlooked, because that's something that we just desperately need as a church family. We need the praying people of God. Thank you for being in the prayer room and praying. Come on, let's give God thanks for it. Thank you for praying, and all of you that are behind the scenes that maybe we don't understand exactly all that you do, but you're preparing an atmosphere. I always say it all works together, because if you take care of the building or mow the lawn, or if you clean the baptistry or the restrooms or work in the coffee shop, or you're singing on the platform or preaching, it's all creating this moment that we can have together to hear and receive the word of God. So thank you for what you do for the kingdom of God. Are you ready to hear from the Lord? This morning we tried our best, and the Lord just met us in such a powerful way. And tonight I want to minister from the subject, the power of the Word. There's nothing like the Bible. It's the most fascinating book in all of history. And the Bible that I have today here is a small print Bible that I'd like to tell you about. My wife is here, and her mother and dad are pastors, and her mother is such a precious woman of God, and I tell this by permission. I got her permission. We love her and think the world of her. She called my wife about a year or two ago and said, I'd like to give you something special, an inheritance. And she said, well, I'd like to have an inheritance. And then she said, well, it's not money, but it's something of a family treasure. I would like to give you the Bible that belonged to your great-grandfather. My wife said, absolutely, I'd love to have that. Her grandfather was in denominationalism way back in the early 1900s, I guess, in the Midwest, and he did not have the revelation of Jesus' name, baptism, and the oneness of God yet, but this is the Bible that he owned when God started dealing with him, and he started underlining those very special text to all of us, the ones like Colossians 3 and 11 that says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Like Acts 2:38, you can look in this Bible and see the underlined scriptures and almost see in your mind's eye as he received the understanding of truth in this old Bible. And it's coming apart, and But she said, I want to give that to you. And my wife said, I'd like to have it. She said, I'll bring it to you as soon as I find it. As soon as I find it. She knew she had it somewhere in the house. She just misplaced it temporarily. And so several months later, she called and said, well, I found that Bible. I'm bringing it to you. And we now have this in our possession, and my wife keeps it in plastic bubble wrap, and we put it in the safe. I want to tell you something. If a criminal came to our house, he would be disappointed. If he happened to be able to get in that small safe, when he opened it up and he pulled open the paper and the plastic, it would not be earthly treasures, but it would be this Bible. Aren't you thankful? This is a treasure to us. It's a treasure to us. And I know you feel the same way. Why don't you give the Lord a hand if you feel that way about this holy word of God? And you know, our text tonight was 2 Kings chapter 22. And if you can recall, we understand that this was the young king Josiah who was appointed as the king of Judah, the southern tribes of Israel. At the untimely death of his father, just at 8 years old, he became the king. And he had mentors and leaders that helped him, and he wanted to serve the Lord, and he did his best. And when he got into his 20s and 30s, he started doing things that would help the kingdom of God. He cleansed the temple from idolatrous worship, and he tore down the house of the Sodomites, and he forbid the child sacrifices in the valley of Hinnom to Molech, and he reinstated the Passover. And you know how important the Passover is in the nation of Israel. And all of these things together brought a reformation, a revival to the nation of Israel. This was a young man whose father and grandfather did not serve the Lord, but he had a heart to serve God, and he did his best. And at a young age, I want to tell somebody, even at a young age, you can serve God. You can do something great for God. You don't have to wait, but you can serve God as a teenager in your 20s and your 30s, and you can have an impact. And this young man said, I want to do something for the kingdom of God. And the greatest thing, I guess, that ever happened for Josiah, he was a good king. One of the few good kings mentioned in the Bible from that era. But 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 25 says, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart. Now, I don't know if the Bible is going to ever record anything about me. Obviously, it's already been written and it's not possible. But hear me, if it were to say there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, that is a good accolade, a commendation from God Almighty. And thank God for that. But he really wanted to serve God. And the greatest thing I guess he ever did was he said, my father and my grandfather neglected the house of the Lord. They didn't go there. They didn't want anything to do with God. But now that I'm here, I want to fix it up and to do it right. And he hired masonry people and carpenters and all these people to try to remodel and fix it up. And what happened was, one day he sent Shaphan the scribe down there to talk to the construction people. And he said, go down there and see how things are going. And he got down there and said, how are things going? And they said, everything is great. The bricklayers and the stonemasons are doing a great job, and the carpenters are doing great. He said, well, is there anything I can help you guys with? They said, no, just go back to the king and tell him everything is all right. But before you go, they said, we found something interesting in the lost and found closet. And you remember what that was. You remember it was a copy of the law. And it wasn't a black Bible like that I brought tonight, but it was an old rolled up scroll, probably a book from the law. And he said, would the king like to see what this is? And is it interesting? And the king said, absolutely. I want to know what's in the house of the Lord. And he opened it. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 22 and 8, he said, he gave the book of the law to the king, and he told Shaphan the scribe to read it. He said, right now, start reading. I've always heard about the law, but I've never had a copy of it to read. And he said, start reading right now. And he began to hear for the very first time the words from the book of the law, part of the first five books of the Bible. Now, you know they didn't have a printing press all that time ago. They didn't have multiple copies all over the place. If they had duplicates, some scribe had to very meticulously copy those. And if they made a mistake, they had to discard it because the Word of God was so precise and so valuable. And at that time, even this young king had never, now he's in his mid-20s, he has never seen a copy of the book of the law. And even the high priest is amazed, and it indicates that he has never had a copy of the book of the law. And so when they found this copy, their hearts leaped for joy because God had preserved his word. They had thought it was gone forever, but now they had in their hands a copy of the book of the law. And some people understand that it's most likely part of the book of the law that he began to read from. It was part of Deuteronomy 28 and 29 and 30, the renewal of the covenant. And if you understand what that part of the Bible looks like, it starts out by saying, if you serve God and love him and keep his commandments, I will make you a blessed nation and you'll be prosperous. And it goes on to say, I'll bless you in the city. I'll bless you in the field. It goes on to say, I'll make you the head and not the tail. It goes on to say, I'll make you the lender and not the borrower. All of these blessings are listed in these chapters, and it's probably the first words that this King Josiah had ever heard from the book of the law. And he rejoiced and said, listen, I have been doing my best to help this nation. I've been trying to close down the Sodomites and all of the idol worshipers. I've stopped the child sacrifice. And I knew in my heart I was doing the right things. But now I have proof. I have a copy of the book of the law. And this man who was zealous for the works of the Lord, he was passionate, finally had for the very first time the tools to make it all happen. He had the authority now, the firm foundation, and I'm thankful for the Word of God. You know, this church is built on a firm foundation. This pulpit stands upon the Word of God. It's not just a social club. It's not just a place where we gather together in fellowship, but you are built on the eternal Word of God. I'm thankful for this church family. I'm thankful for your legacy. I'm thankful for the great man of God that's preached the word so ably for so long. And I'm thankful tonight that we're still relying on the word of God. It's not just philosophy, but it is the word of God forever settled in heaven. You know what kind of book this is. It's the greatest book that's ever been written in all of history. You know there's 31,102 verses, over 783,000 words in this Bible, 66 books together, written by 40 authors, and it's been printed more than any other book in all the world. It's the Bible. Even the Guinness Book of Records says that the Bible is the most printed book in all of history. No other religious book comes close to it. No other book can touch it. It's the most influential book of all of history. It comes together and it unites with history books. Hundreds of its prophecies have been proven correct. It's been translated into 700 languages, including the Old Testament, 1,500 languages, just the New Testament alone. But all of these scriptures, all of these verses and chapters, I want to tell you they've got power. But just listen to what I'm going to say right here. Just one scripture can defeat the enemy. Just one scripture can bring forth your miracle. Just one scripture can help you through this depression and this anxiety and this worry. I'm telling you, we've got 31,000 of them to glean and to read and to memorize and to help us. But you know what? When that right word hits you in the right moment, it can deliver your soul. I'm thankful for the Word of God. There's more power in this book than in all of the weaponry of the world. This book has power. Come on and clap your hands if you're thankful for the Word of the Lord. Somebody counted them, I don't know, but somebody said there's 3,500 promises in the Bible, and I'm sure that's about correct. But some of those promises are like this in Psalms 84 and 11. He promised not to withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. In Malachi 3 and 10, he promised to open the windows of heaven for those people who are faithful in tithing and offering and giving to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, he said, if you sow bountifully into the kingdom, you can expect to reap bountifully. In Isaiah 43 and 2, he said, I'll take you through the waters. In Psalms 23, he said, I'll take you through the valley. And in Hebrews 13 and 5, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I'm only beginning to scratch the surfaces of the promises of God, because you know from this morning already, he promised, I'll heal your body. I'll set you free. Hallelujah. He said, fear not, for I am with you. He promised to be with you. And hundreds of times he said, be not afraid. Don't be worried. And tonight I'm just rehearsing the promises of God to the good saints of the Almighty God. God's going to help you in your hour of need. Come on and clap your hands if you believe that. He's going to help you in your hour of need. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Romans 15 and 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. In 1 Peter 1:21, he said, for the prophecy of the scripture was not given by any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Psalms 119 and 105 says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jeremiah 23 and 29 said, the word of God is like a fire. It's like a hammer that breaks and rocks into pieces. Psalms 107 and 20 says, he sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destruction. There's nothing more powerful than the word of God spoken over your life. I've been blessed to be able to minister long enough to see not only that it's written in there, but to experience it. I like this. I'm preaching several years ago, I read my text, and a man stands up over here, and he walks out, comes back in later, and he said, Brother Welch, I'm sorry, I had to step out. I felt something in my back pop, and he said, it was unusual, but I went out and stretched, and he said, when you read the text about someone being healed or a miracle, my back was healed, I was in pain, and instantly God healed me. And still to this day, when I see him, he says, you remember when you read that text? Now, I didn't walk out there and pray for him, and I believe in that. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, anoint them with oil. We do all those things, but I'm just trying to emphasize the power of the word right here. And the Bible, he said, when you read the text, I got healed. Praise God. The same thing happened. I was preaching in Arkansas. I read the text from Luke chapter 13 about the woman with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. I did not know there was a couple who had just got to church, and on their way to church, the husband looked over at the wife in the passenger seat and said, I'm sorry you're sick today. And he said, I wonder, sweetheart, would you just try and remember, how long have you been suffering with this undiagnosed illness that has tormented you, pain in her abdomen? And she said, I had to think about it for a while, but she said, just before church, we drove in the parking lot. I turned around and told him, I think it's been about 18 years that I've been sick. Not knowing that a few minutes later, I was going to read from Luke 13 about the woman with the spirit of infirmity for eight. And she said, when you read that text and I saw that this person had been sick the same amount of time, and you didn't know that I was coming. And she said, my faith rose up, and I believe God healed me that day. I haven't had, and I know she hasn't had pain since. She said, I testify now that God has healed me and delivered me. I'm thankful for the power in the Word of God. God's Word has power. Those were instances where I didn't even lay hands on them, but God spoke to them through a word. Countless other times, and all of us would testify of times when the pastor preached or a minister, evangelist came and he spoke a word, and I knew that was my word. He preached about the valley, I was in the valley. He preached about despair, and that's where I was at. But God spoke to me through his powerful word, and he delivered me. That's why it's important to hear preaching of the word of God. That's why it's important to read the word of God privately. That's why it's important when you pray to speak the word of God. There's power in the word of God. Somebody clap your hands and thank him for that power. There's so much power in the word of God. There's something breaking here tonight for someone, and it's going to come through the word of the Lord. I was preaching at my home church, and even last week I confirmed it with a young lady again. It had been several years. I read from the Old Testament about one of the kings who was, the Bible said, he was diseased in his feet, and he sought not the Lord, but only physicians. And of course, his crime was not that he sought physicians, but that he left the Lord out of the equation, is what the Bible said. And she said, when you read that text, you did not know that I had an infection in my feet that was, doctors thought, incurable. But she said, the Lord healed me, and I went back to the doctor, and he confirmed that miracle because you read that. She said, I didn't even know that text was in the Bible about the king who had a disease in his feet. But when you read that, it sparked something in my spirit, and I was healed that very moment. Isn't that just like God to speak to somebody with a sure, certain word? I believe God tonight is trying to speak to somebody in that definite, precise kind of a way. Praise God. Now, I know I've got my Bible here, and I know this day and age, many of us have digital Bibles, and we have it on the screen, and all that's good. But, you know, as I think about the power of God's Word, I'm thankful to have a copy. When I was studying this, I looked on my bookshelf, and I saw about 10 or 12 copies of the Bible. I saw some commentaries. I saw some different versions, and I said, thank God for the availability of the Word of God. At the time when I read the text, that must have been the only copy they knew about. If there were other copies, there weren't many. There were just a few in that, but God preserved it. I thought that God was going to excuse them from obeying the Word because they didn't have a copy, you know? I thought I was going to read the next chapter and see, well, God said, just don't worry about it. You didn't have a copy. But the next chapter, if you read it, God says, even though they didn't have a copy, I had put it in their hearts, and they should obey me. And he said, I'm going to hold this nation accountable. And I thought, oh, God, you know, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And I thought, I own 10 to 15 Bibles. God, I don't have any excuse. We live in a day when you can buy a Bible at Walmart for just a few dollars. You can look it up online for free. But you know what? We still live among people who say, well, I don't know what's in the Bible, and I don't want to look in there because it might make me responsible for what's in there. I can tell you, if you really want to be saved, don't say to yourself, well, I don't understand the Bible. You know, there's only just a small portion of this Bible that you can't understand. There's some prophetic words in Revelation and Daniel that maybe you don't totally grasp. But the Bible, by and far, is a very straightforward writing, and you can understand it. Don't give up on that. Matter of fact, there's somebody here. There's a youth pastor. There's ministers. There's saints of God that just in a few minutes can point out to you what the Bible says about salvation. In other words, what I'm saying is if you really want to know, you can find out in just a few minutes. don't think that ignorance is the way to go. Say, I want to find out what's in there. This is the Word of God. I'm thankful for the Word of God, and I know that we're responsible to the Word of God. Aren't you thankful for that? Now, can I borrow your Bible? Just fold it up and put it on top of mine. I got two Bibles here. I'm just going to kind of conclude with an illustration. Can I borrow yours? I'm going to try not to dishevel them. I know how important it is to look neat. Can I borrow your Bible? Just put it right. You got a scripture in it? That's all right. Put it right on. She's got some scriptures in this book. Praise God. Anybody else willing to let me borrow their Bible for a few minutes? You got a Bible? I like that. I like that. I like that. He's got his Bible on it. Anybody else? Oh, look at there. These are high-tech Bible readers right here. Anybody else got another printed copy? Come on up here. This guy's going to help me. You know what? Would you help me and put the phones on top of the Bible there? I mean, I'm not an engineer, so you're going to have to help me. I got this. I got 4 or 5 here. This will get me going. Thank you. Praise God. You going to help me? Tyler, come help me. You know what? I need about 6 or 8 more to really get this point across. Somebody give me 6 or 8 more. Just bring them on up here. Just put them right here. I'm going to conclude this sermon with a stack of Bibles. Well, you know what? I thought about just a few, but anybody who's willing, just run it up here. I think you're adding... Praise God. Get me 4 or 5 more. Change my mind. Come on, Brother Scott. Bring it on up here. That's what I'm talking about. Anything. I take it all. I take cash, credit card, whatever. Look at this. You really helping me. Put this on the bottom. Stack those up. You got an engineering degree? Go ahead. I'm getting there. Now, you know what the devil says? The devil says, I've got you where I want you. I mean, think about it. What does he say to you? You're defeated. You're going to be defeated. The devil says you're not going to make it financially. You're not going to have enough money this month to pay your bills. Devil says your sickness is going to get worse, not better. The devil says you're not going to succeed on your job. You're not going to get a promotion. You're going to lose your job. But you know what? That's the voice of the enemy, right? That's the voice of the enemy. Because you know what? The devil is a liar. You know, I already told you hundreds of times the Bible says don't worry and don't be afraid. So that's not God telling you to worry and to be afraid. That's not God doing that. But you know what? We've been listening to the devil for so long, sometimes we forget what's in the Word of God. Just one copy of this could defeat all the voices of the enemy. But you know what? I'm stacking up a case against him tonight. I'm stacking up against a case against it. He's been trying to put circumstances on circumstances and symptoms on symptoms. But you know what? I'm going to treat him with his own tactics. I'm going to build a case against the devil. And you know what? I'm about 2/3 of the way there. I'm gonna build a case against the devil. I've already got about 20 or 30 copies that says the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. Now, whose voice are you going to believe? This is the most authoritative book that's ever been written. Nothing about this book has ever been proven wrong. This book, say, well, they wonder. They wonder if the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Maybe it was only ankle-deep water. Maybe it was only knee-deep water. Well, if that was true, then that's the greatest miracle of all, because Pharaoh and all of his horses drowned it in 6 inches of water. No, this Bible is true, and it's not a book of stories. This is true, and I'm building a case against the devil right here. The devil's been telling somebody, you're not going to make it. You know, I find when we're pretty real and honest with the Lord, he starts helping us. And Brother Jim right here, I want you to sit down because I'm coming to you. Brother Jim, you got a good smile and you're a good man of God and all of that, and I know, but you're human, aren't you? And that tells me there's days when it's not just really what I want it to be. So put this on your knee. Brother Jim, even when you're having a difficult month and you're having a difficult time, you're having some sicknesses, you're having some problems, you're having all these things, you know what? That word says you're going to make it. It says you're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor height, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other, no creature can come near you. I like Luke chapter 10 and 19 that says, we have power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You believe that word? Here's another copy of it. I'm going to build a case against the devil. The devil, and I'm just using you as an object lesson. You understand that. I'm not pointing you out. But I'm saying right now, the devil's been telling you you're not going to make it this month. But you know what? I don't know whose Bible this is. If you think this is your Bible, just raise your hand. Brother Self, is that right? Brother Self is agreeing with me that the devil does not have a case against you. We're calling the devil out. Thank you, brothers. We're calling the devil a liar. Who? Anybody recognize this one? Sister Thompson, is that right? Thomas, she agrees with me right now in the Lord that God is building a case against the devil. You're not in this alone, but all these saints of God together agree that the word of God is more powerful. Brother Tanner Malone, he believes in you, and he believes God has power over the devil. He's adding to the case. Come on. Hey, God's in this right now. Brother Ronnie, is that yours? One of these is Brother Ronnie's. Either way, you believe that? You believe the Lord is going to help us? Brother, Sister Donna Meyer believes that. She gave me, is that right? My eyes are failing, but she believes God's going to help us right now. Hallelujah. I want to know whose big pink Bible this was. What's her name? Call it out. I see her over there by Brother Ricky Brown. All right. She really believes the devil is a liar. And she's got enough of the Bible right here to put all of Satan's devils, all of his forces on the run. This young lady, what was her name? Laney believes. She's writing scriptures down, and she believes that God is helping you. Brother Rhodes, he says, in Jesus' name, whatever's fighting you, we're going to push it off. We're going to build a case against the devil. Whose purple Bible is this? Who agrees with me? Kaylee, she was the first one that told me she agrees that this book is going to deliver you. This is my Bible. I'm going to put it right here. But you know what? We're building up a case again. You're going to overcome whatever you're facing because this book says you've got power to overcome and prevail. I'm calling the devil a liar. The Bible calls him a liar. God's a healer. If you're facing sicknesses, I'm believing that in the name of Jesus, your body's going to be healed right now. Hold on. Brother Jim's a pretty tall guy, so I don't have enough Bibles. But you know what Brother Jim's biggest problem is? His mind, his imagination runs wild. Not just him, but I'm saying all of us. I'm using him as, even when it seems like everything's all right, sometimes we have imaginary problems we create. The Bible says death is the final enemy. We've all got to face death one time in our life. That's all, one time. But you know what? We face it 1,000 times in our mind. We've thought of ways to die that no person had ever died of. I'm conquering the fear of death. This Bible says death has no sting. If you're worried about death every day, I'm calling that out and saying in the name of Jesus, live your life like God's in control. If you go to heaven, rejoice and say, I'm better off. Hallelujah. But don't you worry about death every day. Put that under your feet. Hey, I need about 10 more people that agree that God's going to help Brother Jim right now. Run over here. Do we have 10 more Bibles in this house? Brother Josh, you got one over there. It's pretty good size. Run it over here right now. Just run it. Somebody else, I need 9 more to get this over Brother Jim's head right now. Come on, put it on top right here. Come on, Brother Mike, come on and put it right here. Help me. I need about 4 or 5 more. Somebody look around. Somebody find me another Bible. Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you. Sister Katie, bring that on here. Hey, we're just about to conquer Brother Jim's wild imagination about what the devil... Brother Ronnie says we need 2 more to get this job done. Come on, we need 2 more. Hey, is there a lost and found? Somebody put their Bible in the lost and found. Somebody find... Hey, am I going to have to settle for a songbook? Somebody bring a hymnal. There's scriptures in there. Praise God. I need 1 more. I need 1... Oh, he found one. Brother Mike found somebody. Now, if you just don't sit up too straight, Brother Jim, we got this. Big bad wolf is no longer as big as the word of God. It's prevailing. Fear of cancer, take your hands off of Brother Jim. Fear. Come on, Brother Parson, bring me that final capstone. Come on, I believe this is going to do it right now. Somebody rejoice for Brother Jim right now. In the name of Jesus, Satan, get behind me. Come on, Sister Welch, help me sing just 1 chorus while I pray over me. Brother Jim that's been dealing with the devil. It's not just Brother Jim that's been dealing with discouragement, but it's all of us. I wonder tonight, if I just left these here a moment for an object lesson, and I invited the whole church just to come and be as close as you can to this stack representing the Word of God, we're so blessed. You know what, if we wanted to, we could have several thousand copies between all the ones you own. And this is a good representation just with those that are here tonight. But if you're facing some trial, you ought to get as close. You know what, you don't have to, but it wouldn't be all that bad if you just put a hand on there at some moment tonight and say, I agree with the Word of God. God's going to give me the victory. God's going to give me the help I need. Why don't all of us together for the next 10, 15 minutes, come on to the altar if you believe the Word of God.
Every chain.
Lord, touch us. But you know what? I've asked them to shift into, you know what? God's doing miracles here right now. If you need a touch of God, throw your hands in the air. Come by here if you want to and pray with these Bibles. But you know what? God is in the miracle working business, and he's here right now. I wonder in these final moments, are you going to help me praise the God that does miracles? Are you going to help me worship God that has a touch for his people? He's here right now. Let's praise him and let's lift him up with all of our strength, with all of our heart. Oh, Jesus, right now. God, touch our brother. God, in Jesus' name, touch our sisters. God, right now. Come on, let's together give him praise. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, if you want to come, just come on over here and put your hand right there and say, I believe what the word of God says. I believe what the word of the Lord says.
By the hand.
wonder if you put a hand on a shoulder and rejoice in the Lord one more time as they sing it. I wonder if you gave God the best praise in your heart. Come on and worship God for touching your brother or your sister. I believe with you right now that God's going to do it. I confirm with you right now that the Lord is going to do it. Together in the name of Jesus. Come on and sing it with all of your heart now. Your Bible tonight. I don't want you to leave it and it being the lost and found. But you know, we got to close, and maybe there's one of these good men coming. But if I had to say one last thing, my wife was singing in a great song, but in that song it said, "Come alive in the name of Jesus." And if you've got anything that seems like it's just dead and dry, and you know, just it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, and this last, if she can possibly do it just one last time, why don't you just speak out loud to it and say, come alive in the name of Jesus. I believe there's power in your words, and just speak it, come alive in the name of Jesus. God bless all of you.